We're going to turn again in God's Word to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Maybe before we do, let's stand together for a wee word of prayer. We'll just change our positions. Let's stand and have a word of prayer before we come to God's Word. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we do thank Thee that we can say, I am His and He is mine. And it's not because we love God, but it's because God loved us, sent His Son to be the Savior of the world, and sent the Holy Spirit to bring us unto Himself. And we thank You, Lord, for the grace of God and salvation. We pray, Lord, that this would humble our hearts and cause us to be so thankful for that grace extended to us in the sovereign plan and will of God. We pray, Lord, that what we have experienced in Christ, that others will come to experience too. And now for the preaching of Thine inspired Word. Blessed to the edification, comfort, and instruction of Thy people. And for any that may be with us that are on the broad road or are backslidden at heart, we pray that there will be a word in season for them to bring them to the Savior. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And as you take your seats, do open your Bible there, please, at 1 Samuel chapter 30. I want to take as my text this morning the final part of verse 6, perhaps a well-known verse to you, yet nevertheless it is a text that ought to come with fresh challenge and power to our souls. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, very simply, encouraging yourself in the Lord. The importance of this act in David's life at this particular time cannot be overstated. The biblical record of David's life began in 1 Samuel chapter 16 when Samuel the prophet was instructed by God to go to the house of Jesse and there to anoint the young shepherd boy who would become the future king of Israel. And his lifespan in the scripture record stretches right through 1st and 2nd Samuel, right into the first book of Kings in the second chapter, when at 70 years of age, he dies in his bed. And his soul is gathered to the Lord. And in between, there were many high points and many low points, but in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, you have a pivotal point. He's been on the run from Saul. He's been a fugitive for many years. And yet at this point, he's on the verge of God fulfilling His purpose and His promise for him and to him, because he's on the verge of ascending the throne of Israel. Saul will soon be dead, and soon David will be crowned king of Israel, king of Judah in Hebron, king of all Israel soon after. I put it to you, such were the events in this chapter, in the chapter to come, that one wrong move, and David nearly made a wrong move, and we'll see that as we progress, but one wrong move, and everything could be jeopardized. One wrong move from David, one wrong move from his men, and all could be, humanly speaking, in danger. But at a crisis point in his life, at a pivotal point in God's sovereign dealings with him, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And in doing so, he took the right path, he did the right thing, the Lord worked everything out for him, and soon he was the king Judah, soon the king of all Israel. How important it was then for David at this juncture to encourage himself in the Lord. And I am highlighting that to you at the commencement of this message to remind you that there are times in our own life experience whenever we need to step back from all that is going on around us and to lift and encourage our souls in the Lord. Perhaps that is exactly what you need to do this morning in your walk with the Lord, to encourage yourself in the Lord. Now, there's three major lessons I want to set before you this morning in relation to this theme in this text. And the first one is this, that this text shows us the reality that God's people need encouragement. It shows us the reality that God's people need encouragement in their walk with God and in their life for Him and in their service for Him. Look at the start of verse 6, our text. That first clause, that opening clause of the verse, "And David was greatly distressed." How often has that been the case in the life of the individual Christian, or particularly in the life of the one who is in leadership within the Church of Christ, the servant of the Lord, or the servants of the Lord, that they can say, due to all that is going on around them and taking place, their soul is greatly distressed? And that was the situation with David. In 1 Samuel Chapter 30, if you look at the first part of the chapter, you will see that there were a number of reasons that distressed him. If you look at verse 1, you will see there was the consuming of his home. "It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire." Let me remind you of the context of this passage of Scripture. As I said, David was still fleeing from Saul. Saul had threatened to kill him on several occasions. Saul had tried to take David's life, and David had fled to the southern regions of Israel, and he had come into the land of the Philistines. And there he found refuge and he found safety, and he made Ziklag his home, and there he settled his wives and his family. As you will know, David had 600 men who before dwelling in Ziklag, David hid out in the cave of Adullam. And 600 men who were discontent with Saul's leadership and with Saul's reign, they came to David and they were loyal to David at that time. And David had settled them all in Ziklag. But for a season, for 3 days, David had gone to stand before Achish, the king of the Philistines, and put something to him. And at that time, whenever he returned to find that his city had been burned to the ground. The Amalekites had invaded from the south, and they had consumed the city with fire. Furthermore, they had not only consumed the city with fire, they had taken captive the women and the children. Look at verse 2 and verse 5. "And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way." Verse 5, David wasn't exempt. David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, Aias and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. You picture in your mind what's taking place. David and his men have been before King Achish. And on their return, they not only find that their homes have been destroyed and burned with fire, the enemy has entered in, but their wives and their children have been taken as slaves of the enemy. And the thought would be, what has the enemy done to them? Will we ever see our wives and our children again? Would we be able to recover them? And the discouragement and the distress and the disillusionment sets in, not only for David, but for his men. And you'll see there was not only the consuming of their homes and the captivity of their families, but there was the complaints of his men. Verse 6. "David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was much grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." Oh, you can picture it in your mind. You can feel the frustration and you can feel the anger. "David, you've led us to King Achish. And while we were away, you made a mistake. You didn't leave men to defend our wives and our children and our city. And you've made a grievous error. And it's all your fault, David. And now our wives and our children have been taken and we have no homes to come back to. And they're ready with their anger to stone David and put him to death. And David is greatly distressed. I think it would be fair to say, David is at his lowest point. I genuinely believe that this is David's lowest point between fleeing from Saul and ascending the throne. I believe this is David's lowest point. And such was his distress that he needed something to encourage him in the Lord. And for the Lord. Because David was so low that I have no doubt he felt he simply couldn't go on. And 200 of his men couldn't go on. They were so faint. There are times in our Christian life and Christian experience, and particularly in our Christian service, whenever the enemy attacks us or attacks our families, that the people of God can start to turn in one on the other and start to blame one another, and then we feel that we simply can't go on. And at that point, David needed to encourage himself in the Lord. And I'm saying to you, there are times in our Christian lives we need to step back and look to the Lord for encouragement. Now, I want to say something else before we leave this thought. And it may apply to you and it may not, but it applies to David in this situation. All of this distress at this particular point in David's life came upon him because he was in a place he shouldn't have been. You turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 27. From 1 Samuel 27 to chapter 29, you really have the recording of this tragic incident in the life of David. In chapter 27, verse 1, it says, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day at the hand of Saul." My friends, that wasn't true. God had told David he would be king. God had told David he would reign over Israel. God had told David he would fulfill his purpose. And yet such was Saul's pursuit and relentless attack against David. He said in his heart, "I'm going to perish. Saul's going to get me one day. And I'm going to die at the hand of Saul." It wasn't true. And unbelief filled his heart. He said, "There's nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines." And because David's heart was filled at that moment with unbelief in the promise of the Lord, and he thought that he would perish at the hands of Saul and that God wouldn't fulfill his promise toward him, he ran to the enemy. And he went to live among the Philistines. He thought he'd be better joining them. I said, we can hardly believe it. He slew their champion. Did he not fear that they would seek revenge on him at some stage? And he's going to dwell and seek security with the Philistines, the enemy. And yet such was the unbelief and the fear that gripped his heart. That's what he did. And I would say, I believe that David should not have gone to dwell with the Philistines. In fact, if you read chapter 27, you discover that in going down to the Philistines, there was no prayer. There was no seeking God for direction. There was no inquiring of the Lord. Verse 7 of chapter 27 tells us that he was there for a year and 4 months. That is 16 months. He dwelt among the Philistines. He was in a place, I believe, the Lord would not have him to have been in. If you read on into chapter 29, you'll discover that he was actually going to go with the Philistines and fight against Saul. Only God stepped in providentially and closed the door and made it impossible for him to go. The Philistines didn't trust him. And they said to Achish, "Are you mad bringing David to battle with us against Saul? He'll turn against us and he'll fight for Saul." But it was God providentially closing the door. David had, as it were, got so out of the path of the Lord that he was going to align himself with the enemies when they were fighting Israel. And in that place he shouldn't have been. And on that path he should not have trod. Commentators believe the events of chapter 30 was part of God's chastening hand upon David to show him the folly of dwelling among the Philistines. Ziklag was burned with fire. The families were taken captives, and his men, they complained and spoke of stoning him. You know, there's times whenever just everything goes wrong. And sometimes, child of God, I'm saying it may apply to you. It may not at this particular time, but it was the case in David's life at this moment that he was out of the path and will of God, that the Lord chastened him in these events that it might bring him to his senses, that he might turn to the Lord to encourage his soul and seek the Lord and get back on the right path and into the ways of the Lord, the place where the Lord would have him. At such times, whenever all around us, our circumstances are against us, the enemy seems to be triumphing over us and attacking us, and whenever we are out of the will of God for our lives, we need to step back. And we need to encourage ourselves again in the Lord. Now, the second thing I want you to notice, if you turn back to chapter 30, the second major lesson I want to point out, not only does this text set forth the reality that God's people need encouraged, but this passage in text shows us that true encouragement comes only from the Lord. True encouragement comes only from the Lord. Listen to the words of verse 6 again. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And do you notice this? Although David was out of the will of God in going down to Philistia, or the land of the Philistines, and although David at this stage was, if we could say it, not only out of the will of the Lord, but he had disobeyed the Lord in going to the land of the Philistines. There's no other way of putting it. But even though that was his condition, the Lord was still his God. My friends, the grace of God as our Savior, even when the child of God goes astray, and you shouldn't want to or desire to or aim to go astray, but even when the child of God goes astray, as David did, the Lord is still his God and his Savior. He doesn't abandon him. He doesn't leave him. But he's always with him, and he will draw him back. It might be by chastisement. It might be through speaking to him in the Word. But he will draw him back, and the Lord is still his God. And therefore he encouraged his heart in the Lord his God. You see, David couldn't encourage himself in Achish. He'd made a league, as it were, or an agreement with Achish, chapter 27, that he would dwell among the Philistines. And as he came before Achish in chapter 29, Achish had rejected him. He said, "David, get away back to Ziklag. You're not coming to battle with us." He couldn't encourage himself and the enemy because the enemy had just rejected him. Do you know this? If you're a child of God and the world is your enemy, the world doesn't want you. And the world will reject you. Well, he couldn't encourage himself in Achish. He couldn't encourage himself in his home or his earthly possessions. It was burnt to the ground. As he came back to Ziklag, he didn't even have a comfortable place. He couldn't say, I'll go into my home and lay my head in the pillow and we're going to get up in the morning and I'll deal with these men. He had nowhere to lay his head. His home was in ashes, burnt to the ground. And it reminds us that earthly possessions are temporal. Trust not, the Bible says, in uncertain riches. They're uncertain, and all of our earthly possessions and all of our earthly wealth, whatever we have, it may be much, it may be little, it's uncertain. And we can't trust in it. And we shouldn't comfort ourselves in it. And we shouldn't comfort ourselves in the world. He couldn't comfort himself. He couldn't encourage himself and his family. Often, whenever we've had a hard day, maybe nothing we like to do more, talking as a man, maybe there's nothing we like to do more than come home, get the dinner, send the children away, a cup of tea into a particular room, and just converse with our better half, tell them all our problems and all our troubles, and there's comfort there. But he couldn't do that because his wives had been taken captive and his children had been taken captive and they weren't there and he couldn't comfort himself and his family. And there's times that our family can't even comfort us as God's people or in God's work. He couldn't comfort or encourage himself in Achish or his possessions or his family. He couldn't encourage himself and his men. Now, sometimes when we get into trouble, what do? We phone up our friend, we send them a text message or we say, can I call round to the house and have a chat with you? And again, you unburden yourself and you talk to them and they encourage you and they help you to keep going on. He couldn't do it because his men had turned against him and they talked about stoning him. They were ready to lynch him. He couldn't encourage himself and his own nation or his own king, for Saul was looking to put him to death. But when all around his soul gave way, the Lord was then his help and his stay. And my friends, whenever you don't find comfort in the world and you don't find comfort in your earthly possessions or wealth or riches and you don't find comfort in your family and you don't find comfort in your friends and you don't find comfort in your nation or other things, then I'm saying to you, the Lord is able to encourage you. You must look to comfort yourself and your soul in the Lord. And when David found that and looked to the Lord, he found that encouragement. The word means strength. He strengthened himself in the Lord, and it only came from the Lord. I say again, when all around your soul gives way, he then is all your hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground for comfort, encouragement, strength, and help, it's sinking sand. And if you're looking to anyone other than the Lord for comfort, strength, and encouragement, you'll be disappointed. For true comfort only comes from the Lord. Now, what does it mean? Look at that little phrase again in verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. What does it mean that he encouraged himself in the Lord? Well, that little phrase, in the Lord, it speaks about David's position in the Lord, his union with the Lord. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And when we talk about being in the Lord or in Christ, we're talking about that saving union with Him. We are united. We are joined to Christ. And David, I believe, in encouraging himself in the Lord, he called to mind. He meditated. He thought. He reckoned in his own heart the blessings that he had flowing from his salvation and his union with the Lord. And that's what encouraged him. He could think about the Lord's provision. Wasn't it David who wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord had provided for his salvation. The shepherd would be smitten. David was saved. The Lord was his shepherd and his savior. And therefore, he would provide not only for his soul, but for all his needs. He could be encouraged in the Lord's provision. He should have been encouraged in the Lord's purpose. This is why David went astray in 1 Samuel 16, verse 12. The Lord had said to Samuel, "Arise and anoint him, for this is he." God had purposed that David was going to be king of Israel and had Samuel anoint him in Jesse's house. The Lord doesn't change his mind. The Lord doesn't change his purposes. He said to Jacob when he was taking him to Padanaram, to Laban's house, "I will be with you until I have fulfilled my purpose for you." I'm paraphrasing the verse. But it was the same with David. The Lord had said he would be king. He wasn't going to die at the hands of Saul. He wasn't going to perish at the hands of the Philistines. He hadn't sat on the throne at that point. God's purpose would be fulfilled. And my friend, God fulfills his purposes for his people. He doesn't change. He's not like man. He's not like governments. David could encourage himself that God was not finished with him. He was still to sit on the throne, and therefore the Lord would see his purpose through. He could encourage himself in the Lord's presence in 1 Samuel 18 and 12. I'm not turning to the references, take note of them, but in 1 Samuel 18 and 12 it says, "Saul feared David because the Lord was with him." And as I have said, even when the child of God goes astray, the Lord doesn't abandon him, but he brings them back. It might be by chastening, it might be by the word of God, but the Lord is with his people, and he was with David here. His men might have turned against him, but the Lord was still with him. "When mother and father forsake thee, the Lord will take thee up." He could encourage himself in the Lord's pardon. He'd taken a wrong turn. David had taken a wrong turn in life because of his fear, because of his concerns. What did that Psalm 23 verse 3 say? "He restoreth my soul." My friends, when the sheep get out of the way, the Lord restores. So he pardons them. He forgives their sins and their feelings. And he brings them back into the way. And he could rejoice and encourage himself that though he shouldn't have been in Philistia, yet the Lord would bring him back into Judea. The Lord would pardon him and forgive him. He could rejoice in God's power and protection. Remember what he told Saul when he was going to fight Goliath? Saul questioned him, didn't believe the wee shepherd boy could defeat the giant. He said, "When I was keeping my father's sheep, there came a lion and there came a bear, and they took a lamb from the flock. He went out and he caught the lion by the beard and he slew it. And he took the bear and he slew the bear." God had protected him from the lion and the bear, and God had given him power to defeat and kill and slay the lion and the bear. And he said, "The Lord will give me the same power to defeat the Philistine." And now David could encourage himself again. The Lord would give him the same power to endure until he sat upon the throne that God had promised him. My friend, I want to tell you today that when your soul is distressed, for whatever reason, encourage yourself in the blessings you have in Christ. He has provided for the salvation of your soul, and he has promised that he will supply all your needs. Rejoice and encourage yourself that he has a purpose for your life in the service of the Lord, that he has assured you that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that when you do go astray, he will pardon you and he will bring you back into the paths of righteousness, that he will give you power to live a life in victory over the enemy, and he will protect you from their hand. These truths call to mind should encourage us. But my friend, you'll not find encouragement in the world. You'll not find true encouragement in others. You will find it solely in the Lord. That leads me to the final thought this morning. This passage not only teaches us that the reality that God's people need encouraged, It not only teaches us that the source of encouragement, true encouragement, comes only from the Lord, but this passage shows us the benefits of encouraging our souls in the Lord. Two things stand out after David encouraged himself in the Lord. Look at verse 7 and the first part of verse 8. David inquired of the Lord. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord. Didn't inquire of the Lord when he went down to the land of the Philistines. He didn't inquire of the Lord when he was offering to go with Achish to fight Saul. But now, his home's burned, his family's captive, his men are against him. Encouraged in the Lord, he inquires of the Lord his God. He inquired through Abiathar the priest, and it reminds us we seek the Lord on the basis of the priestly work of Christ. Jesus Christ is our great high priest, and through him we inquire of the Lord. But there's something else I want you to notice here, and it's wonderful. David tells Abiathar to bring the ephod. What was the ephod? The ephod was part of the high priest's garments. It was like a girdle that went round his back and over his neck, and it had two little gold rings. And what was the purpose of it? On the ephod and the little gold rings was attached the breastplate of righteousness. And on that breastplate were the names of all the tribes of the children of Israel. The breastplate was made of gold, and it had precious stones in it, and it was very, very heavy. For the high priest or the high priest to wear it, the ephod supported it. The ephod bore the burden of that breastplate. And David's calling for the burden bearer. Bring the garment that bears the burden of the tribes of Israel. My friends, what a wonderful picture. He's seeking and inquiring of the Lord through the priest, calling for the ephod because the ephod bore the burden. My friends, in inquiring of the Lord, we're laying our burdens before them. Jesus Christ is our ephod. He is the burden bearer. He's the one to bring your burdens to. He's the one that supports the people of God, the tribes of the Lord. My friend, when you feel under pressure in the service of God, when you feel the burden is too great, my, bring it to the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And he's saying, Abiathar, you put on the ephod to bear the burden, and we're going to bring it to the Lord. That's what the child of God is to do with his distresses and his troubles. Bring them before the Lord and let him bear them, for he is our burden bearer. He inquired of the Lord. He did it through the priest with the ephod. Then notice, not only inquired of the Lord after he encouraged his heart, he heard from the Lord. Look at verse 8. There's David's question, shall I pursue after this troop, and shall I overtake them? The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And David's bringing this personal, particular matter to the Lord. Shall I pursue the Amalekites, and shall I overtake them? And he, the Lord, answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. He heard a word from the Lord. I tell you, that satisfies our heart. It satisfied David's heart, and it directed him. And he pursued the Amalekites, and as we'll see tonight, he did overtake them, and he slew them, and he recovered all. See, the Lord, I preached in that text during shutdown at the internet ministry. In Joel chapter 2, We just call it to mind. The years the Lord shall restore unto you, the years the locusts have eaten. He's the God who restores. And he's able to restore. There's actually a picture of Christ. David's, in a sense, is a type of Christ. And all of his own and all of his family, though the enemy had them, he recovered them all. And all of God's family that the devil has ensnared, the Savior, the Lord Jesus, will recover them all. He'll recover all his people. But the practical lesson is this, that the Lord is able to restore to her. The things that unbelief rob us of, things that getting out of the will of God rob us of, the Lord is able to restore them all. And David recovered all. He heard that word from the Lord. Child of God, are you discouraged? Are you distressed? Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. And may he lead you on to greater service and greater blessing for him.